As I was sitting there listening to Brother Glenn, reflecting on every word that he was speaking before passing out the communion, thinking of the scripture references to go with what he was talking about, I very briefly wanted to change my sermon, very briefly. I really do appreciate him for those words. There is no better place to be on today to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper and remember the suffering that our Lord went through and the death that he had to pay for the sins of the world. On this morning, there was a question put in the box, and I was going to put it off, but I am going to go ahead and answer the question. And the person that put it in here, I know that we always state that we hope that they would be here. They are not here, but I will give them a copy of the CD. It goes hand in hand with the lesson that Brother Thanopoulos preached on Wednesday night. If y'all were not here on Wednesday night, that brother preached. I want y'all to know that right now. Brother Glenn preached this morning, and I was just shortly looking at my time, and I was concentrating on everything that he said. Now, trust me. Because he said, you know, some of you be texting and thinking of other things. And by the time the communion passed us and was on halfway in the back, I looked up and the screen was on that white screen. So I was really focused. Generally, I try to keep it where it needs to be, but it was on that white screen. And so I was focused. Brother Brian, like, what white screen are you talking about? That one right there. I don't know if y'all saw that or not, but you see it now. It's up there. But again, I appreciate, you know, as well as the elders do, all the work that the brothers put in, the sisters put in, with what goes on here at the West End congregation. Without each one of us, where would this congregation be? And the things in which we do in order to glorify God. So with that being said, the question was put in the box, and I picked it out of the box on Wednesday before class, and then I put it back in there. And Brother Justin, who is just busy, he brought this question to me this morning. He said, "Here's a question, Uncle Papaw." I don't know if he quite said that this morning, but that's what he called me from time to time. He gets confused. Just like he was setting up here this morning before Bible class, ready to read that scripture reference. Again, these brothers that Brother Thanopoulos is putting on the list to work, they're ready, and that's a great thing to be ready to be about the Lord's business. But the question is this: what happens to your body when judgment day comes and you're not dead? What happens to your body when judgment day comes and you're not dead? It's a very good question. I just want to say this reference to that question. We have some young people in here that are fascinated with death. They're fascinated with death. And when I was a child, I loved to go by the funeral home. You know, it's supposed to have been in Sunday school, just what they called it then. I was a member of the Baptist church, called it Sunday school. There was the place where we worship. There was this big house in between, and here was the funeral home. Well, we would get dropped off sometime to go to Sunday school, and when they drop us off, we would bypass the church building, and we would go straight over to the funeral home because we wanted to look at those dead people. We were fascinated with death, too, but we weren't asking any questions. We would go in and we would look at them, and we would just look at them and look at them and look at them. And then right before worship service started, we were back where we needed to be, because we knew if we wasn't, we would probably see death a lot sooner than we expected to see it. But what happens to your body when judgment day comes and you are not dead? T- title of the lesson is, what will happen when Jesus returns? What will happen when Jesus returns? Matthew chapter 24 deals with two different situations, two periods of time. The first period of time Matthew 24 deals with is the destruction of Jerusalem. Let us understand that it is not the return of Christ in that first section. He ends talking about his return. Whose return? The return of Jesus, when he will come back to this earth. And brother, again, Brother Glenn went from Matthew chapter 26, coming on through the chapters there in Matthew, looking at what happened to Jesus as far as being, what's that word you use? Yeah, scourged. And him being on the cross and all of those things. All that had to happen in order for him to die, in order for him to return. See, there's an order of things, and the order must be the way God has laid it out. It's a plan. See, a lot of times we write down things. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And the very last thing, you know when we try to do that? We try to do it first. A lot of times it can't happen like that. We have to do it in the order in which we have made up in our minds that we want to do it. And then get to the last thing. So the last thing that's going to happen, we're going to get to scripture reference in just a moment, before Christ, or before we are judged, is that Christ is going to have to return. He's going to have to return. So what will happen when Jesus returns? There's two verses, actually, that I want to look at. From what Brother Justin read, and again, Brother Justin, I really do appreciate you and your willingness to participate in the worship services. Matthew 24, verse 36, and Brother Brian, don't feel bad, she's not recording me either. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But concerning that day, an hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, or the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Concerning that day, what day? The day in which Jesus returns. He doesn't even know. Not even the angels of heaven, messengers of God. God didn't give them this message. See, there are some things God don't want anybody else to know. And this is one of them. Why? Because Jesus, being who he is, he shared a lot with the people. Do you not think him being concerned about the welfare and the souls of men, that he would not have told them? He told them everything else, didn't he? God saw fit not to tell him this. He came from heaven in bodily form and dwelt among men. He had compassion on mankind. He shared things with his friends. He shared things with his disciples. He shared things with his enemies. Oh, we have our children, our grandchildren, our friends always asking us, when are we going to do this? When are we going to do that? Anita came in last night and she said, I want to share something with you that I hadn't shared with you before. And looked me in the eye and said, no, I'm not. Now, you know what the rest of my night was like, right? It was pretty good. Want me to tell you why? Because I kept nagging her as those women did in the Bible to their men. I kept nagging her as a man to a woman. Tell me. Well, why don't you come to me and tell me you have something to say and then don't say it? No, we're not going to get no sleep tonight. And she finally told me, which I have no idea why I did not care. But she shared that with me. That's what spouses do. They share things with other spouses, with each other, Brother Gary. So if you get married, things that happen in our relationship, we don't have to share with you because you're not our spouse. You understand that? Okay. Jesus shared things with mankind. The angels brought forth messages from God. And they brought these messages from God in order to tell the people. What did they tell Mary and Martha when they went to the tomb? He's gone. He didn't have to tell them that, did he? They looked in there and saw that he was gone. But he's gone. There was a message from God. They were messengers. So do you not think that if they were privy to the time of the return of Christ, that they would not have shared it with somebody? I believe they would have. But that wasn't a message that God wanted them to have. Not even the prophets. He did not even tell them. We have to keep some things back, right? We don't want to tell everybody our business. That's the business of God, the return of His Son. He kept that for Himself. So we find as we look at that and we think about it in Matthew chapter 24, He says, therefore, you also must be ready. But wait a minute, why did he say therefore? Because I told you there were two different instances or two different things that were happening in Matthew chapter 24. One, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the other is the return of Christ. So he transitions there from verse 36 into telling them about Noah, telling them about what those people did, telling them about what was going to happen in the destruction of Jerusalem, and then telling them, therefore, in verse 44, you also must be ready. You also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's coming. What's taking him so long? He's waiting on the Father. He's waiting on the Father. Have you ever been waiting on somebody to pick you up? And when you get to, they finally get there and you get to where you was going and they say, why are you late? You say, I was waiting on such and such to pick me up. And since that person, maybe it was a job that you were on, and since that person was pretty high on that job, that they let you slide by. But if you had not been waiting on them and you got there, they wrote you up. Yeah, I was in a situation like that. My uncle was a lead supervisor on this job, and I worked second shift, he worked first shift, and I was late several times. And all that, that's Gerald's nephew. He's okay. He's okay. We need to understand that we can't always rely on what we do by the name of someone else. Yes, we are God's children. We are heirs to the throne. We are priests. But here's the scriptures. The scriptures again, verse 44. Therefore, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Are you ready? Are you ready? We haven't answered the question yet, right? What's going to happen to us if Jesus returns and we're still living? What's going to happen to this body? What's going to happen to it? Well, the Bible teaches us several things reference to the return of Christ. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, the chapter is 5. 1 Thessalonians, the chapter is 5. Verse 1. Let me ask this, because I got a message the other day, and the message said it had a very pretty picture of some roses or this flower blooming, and they said they're confused. They have no idea what season it is. It's winter time, And we have flowers blooming because of the changes of the things. What do they call that? Global warming? Warming? That's what I said. I think that's what I said at first. You weren't here this morning. My speech is just a little bit messed up. I said warming. I know. Whatever. They're confused. But who's in control? Who's in control? God is in control. Have you looked at your rose bushes lately? Those of you that have rose bushes, they're putting out new stems right now. And the weather's supposed to be nice this week. You know what we're going to have the week after? We're going to have leaves on those stems. You know what we're going to have the week after? I have no idea. We may have snow, and then what's going to happen is they're going to freeze because, again, God is in control. He's in control. But we sometimes say, the times, God is getting ready to send his son back because we have no idea what month it is or what season. We know what month it is, but we don't know what seasons it is, what season it is. What season is it? It's wintertime, isn't it? Whether it's 90 degrees outside or whether it's 30 below, it's still wintertime. Look what he says. In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. Have you ever risen on a Sunday morning, looked at your door and noticed that something was missing? In the hours of darkness, somebody came and stole something that belonged to you. My neighbor asked me that not too long ago. He said, hey, could you check this out and let me know who stole my camper? I said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I was asleep at that time. In the hours of darkness, somebody pulled up in this man's backyard, hooked up to his little pop-up camper, and took it away. Yes, we live on the best end. People steal on the best end. They steal on the best end. Did y'all know that? They still out there in the boonies. Is that right, Brother Burgess? Nod your head, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's why he keeps his stuff locked up. He know they steal. That's the way thieves are. That's what a thief does. He steals. The Bible says he's not calling, God has not called his son a thief. But he said he is going to come back like a thief. In the middle of the night, he's coming back like a thief. But it might be in the middle of the day. Who knows when he's coming back? He's coming like a thief. So what do we have to do? We have to be alert. We have to be watching. Well, he will come like a thief. He will come like a thief. Now, there's a lot of people that are going to be watching for the next 24 hours. They're going to keep their lives in order for the next 24 hours, at least for today. Brother, you didn't have to say what you said in your intro to Pastor Not the Comedian. I'm talking to you, Brother Glenn. Super Bowl wasn't even on my mind until he said that. So there's a lot of people that start thinking about the Super Bowl. But I'm glad he said it. Because this evening, there are some people that's not going to be here because they are preparing for the Super Bowl. Got to go get my chips. Got to go get my dip. Got to get ready. The Super Bowl's coming on. Yes, it's coming on. Brother Randy's preaching this evening. He probably won't be finished before it come on. Y'all know how Brother Randy preaches, right? Preach for a long time. Brother Brown, I know you're still recovering. You probably won't be here. Yeah. But Jesus is coming back. What if he comes back this evening? What if he comes back this evening and you are forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of Psalm is? It says, do not Do not, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another so much more as you see what? The day approaching. That day is coming. When is it coming? I don't know. How can I tell you something that the angels in heaven don't know and the Son don't know? How can I tell you when God has not revealed it? But there's a lot of people that can tell you. There's a lot of people that have predicted, and we talked about those predictions in times past, and we'll talk about them again. Predicted when Jesus was coming back, and all of them have been wrong. Except for the ones that has predicted after today. They may hit it. And it's just a may. Somebody's going to have to get it right, right? Maybe. But our God is a God that knows all things. No one has this day. That's when he's going back. Don't want man to say, see, I was right. Because we've been told that several times. See, I told you this, that, or the other. But no one knows when Jesus is going to return. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 11 there. You can read the other verses, but we're going to look at verse 11. He will return as he left. That is one of the reasons why when I look up in the clouds, I say, now that's the wonderful cloud that Jesus can come back in. On a sunny day when there are clouds. Or on a stormy day when there are clouds. And I say, he can even come back in that cloud. Why? Because of what the scriptures teach us. That's why I look up and I say those things. Now on a cloudless day, you don't have to worry about it. But there is going to be a cloud somewhere in this world each and every day. What did he say there in verse 11? Let's go 10. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men, and I want you to listen to this now. These two men in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The same way. These two men, they spoke to the men of Galilee, which tells me this, that they were not from Galilee. Again, somebody had to tell them that the way Jesus ascended is the same way he's going to descend. And no one on earth could know that. No one on earth could know that. Because there are two different groups there, or one group and one person that the Bible says that don't know when he's going to return. So somebody had to know how he was going to return. And those two men there were angels. They were angels. And they told, because God told them, that the way he ascends is the way he's going to descend. So what do? We keep watch. We keep watch. But I want you to know that there's no more preparation that can be done when he descends, when he returns. It's over. It is over. So we need to be prepared for that day. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Here's the answer to the question. What happens to your body when judgment day comes and you're not dead? And you're not dead. Well, again, You don't have time to prepare for this day or when it happens. Time for preparation is over. So be ready. Get ready now and remain ready. Just like a child on his first day of school And some grown-ups that are going back to school, or they first day on a new job, they later close out, and sometimes they get up early and they put their clothes on, and someone say, "Oh, you still have 2 or 3 hours." You know what they don't do? They don't take those clothes off. They stay ready because they're ready to go to school or to work. We have put Christ on. Let's not take him off. Let's stay ready for that day. But he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's start with verse 13. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." But that's not what the question asked, is it? No, it's not. It's not concerned about those who are asleep. We've already talked about them in time past, and I'm pretty sure we'll talk about them again, because people are falling asleep daily. They're dying daily. So people want to know, where is mama? Where is daddy? Where is grandma? Where is this person? Where is that person? And the very simple answer that we give them is they have died, or he or she is sleeping. That's why you hear that so many times when you go and you're viewing that body. They say, "Oh, they're so peaceful. Look at them, just like they're asleep." That body is dead. That body is going back to the dust of the ground. But you know what's going to awake in the end? It's going to be those souls that come from the grave, that comes from the Hadean realm. That's what's going to be awakened. But he says in verse 15, "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord." Again, it comes from God. This is not man's way of thinking. This comes from the Lord. "That we who are alive, who are left unto the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Okay. Still haven't answered the question yet, have we? All we have to do is keep reading. "The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." We're going to be changed. Well, say what? Yeah, you just be patient. See, that's one of them brothers right there that said, "If I were preaching that, this is what I would have said." You know, a man told me a long time ago, "Don't worry about the mule being blind, just sit back and hold the line." We're going to get there. Because, you know, that blind mule, he knows his way to the market and he knows his way back home. Just hold on. We're going to get there. 1 Corinthians what? Oh, thank you very much. Brother Brian said 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. See, he's been in the book. The very book that we all should be in to get an understanding what's going to happen when Jesus returns. The scriptures do not change. So if he was preaching this lesson, he would have this scripture in it. And I tell a brother from time to time, if it's not there, when you preach it, you put it there. But it's there. So go ahead, Brother Brian, read that. Because the trumpet will sound universal. Well, you need to keep reading, right?
"In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed."
All right. We shall be changed. In the twinkling of an eye. Don't bat your eye, you're going to miss it. You know, we say that about small towns. I didn't see that. Why? Because I batted. And when I went through that town, I missed it. We miss our turns because we blink. We were riding with someone the other day, and they said, "You're going down a wrong way." I was moving pretty fast. And by the time he said that, it was too late. And the lady was right there. I didn't see her when we went through because I was focused on driving. And I turned around and came back, and she was getting something out of the car, putting something in, one or the other. I missed that too. But I stopped. I said, "I'm going to talk to her, and I'm going to talk bad to her." I said, "You know I was going down the wrong way. Why come you didn't say anything? You just sitting there laughing." She said, "I see it 4 or 5 times a day, and I myself live here, and I do the same thing." See, we're going to be changed. If we're here, when Christ returns, we're going to be changed. If we're living in the twinkling of an eye, that is mighty fast, isn't it? So you don't have time to prepare. Preparation time is over. Rehearsal is over. If you're not ready, you're not ready. Come on, we got to go. We got to win this game. Come on, we got to do our best. We're trying to win sweepstakes. Y'all know what that means, sweepstakes. Did anybody in here know? That's what we did. Brother Brian, were you ever in the choir? You just in the band. Choir has band. Y'all got sweepstakes? No? Okay, choirs have sweepstakes. You go and you perform, and the winner gets the sweepstakes, you know? And I was in a choir like that. Y'all may not believe it, but we had a sweepstakes choir. But there was a time we rehearsed, and when we went to perform, rehearsal was over. That's what we're looking at right here. Rehearsal time is over. The trumpet will sound universal. No one can say, "I did not hear you return." Oh, you're going to hear it. You're going to know. Even those in the grave are going to hear his return. It's universal. It's universal. So let's get ready. For the day is coming. The day is coming. You got another one for me? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. See, we need to understand that people are teaching false doctrine reference to the return of Christ. Well, what's going to happen? This is heaven on earth. No, there's no such thing as heaven on earth. There's no such thing as hell on earth. The Bible is very clear what's going to happen at the return of Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." 2 Peter 3, 10. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." No more heaven. No more earth. It's going to be burnt. It's going to be burned up. Verse 11, "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Going to be a glorious day. Amen. It's going to be a day that some dread to come forth. Why? Because they're not ready. They're not prepared. They read the scriptures, but they do not believe the scriptures. You know, you hear me say that from time to time. People say, "This is what we teach." But I want you to understand something. That everything that people teach, they don't necessarily believe it. You have teachers, professors that teach about revolution, But they don't believe in it. They don't believe in it. They teach it because it's a paycheck. See, we teach God's Word the way we teach it because we believe it the way it is written. We're not trying to change anything in it. So we need to understand that these things that we're looking at, these things that we're examining, are the words of God. The words of God. No one is going to be able to escape judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, no one is going to be able to escape. Everybody is going to be there. So he says, "Then I saw a great throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire." Jesus will return. Are you ready? And then last, we find that there are only two destinations. Only two destinations. Going back to the book of Matthew, and we go into chapter 25. And we find that the final day is talked about. It's talked about with the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. So you have to be ready. The 5 foolish virgins didn't have enough oil for their lamps. And the 5 wise virgins was not going to share. Was not going to share. But he says this in verse 46 of Matthew 25. "And these will go into eternal punishment. The ones that did not do the works that they should have been doing, helping out the poor, helping out the homeless, helping out the ones that didn't have clothes, helping out the ones that didn't have food, helping out the ones that did not have water, did not go and visit those that was in the hospital, did not go and visit those that was in the jail." He said, "And these will go into eternal punishment." Why are they going into eternal punishment? He said, "Because if you did not do it to them, you did not do it to me." And then it says, "But the righteous into eternal life." The righteous and into eternal life. Those that did right before God. Those that did right before people. They're going to go into eternal life. Where are you going to go? Where are you going? See, again, when these questions are asked, and if it's a Bible question, there is an answer for it. We may have to search for it sometime. We may not get to the place where people want us to be when they want us to be there, but if we keep on searching, we'll get there. If you are not a child of God today, when Jesus returns, whether you have died or whether you are living, when Jesus returns, you will not be told to enter in, my good and faithful servant. There's no way you can be told that. Why? Because he is a God that cannot lie. The unbeliever, the Bible tells us, will have his part in the lake which burns with fire. The murderer will have his part in the lake which burns with fire. The fornicator, the idolater, all of those individuals that are disobedient to God's word will have their part in the lake which burns with fire. So let us do what's right. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, hearing his word is important. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He says in John 8:24, "Except you believe that I'm he, you should die in your sins." So we need to believe that. We need to accept that, and we need to teach that. And then he says in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's what we need to understand. We need to have a change of mind, change of direction, going in the direction that God wants us to go in, that the scriptures are leading us in. And then we need to understand that confession needs to be made before man, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. If you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But we need to understand this. If you deny him, he cannot deny himself. If you do not confess him, he will not confess you. Oh, yes, this is a way. Depart from me, workers of iniquity, I know you not. Oh, yeah, we walk a good walk at times, but there's times where we fall short and we never get up. But we haven't gotten there yet, have we? We need to still talk to the person that is not a child of God. Hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing is just part of it. I believe you said that on the other night, did you not, when you was preaching your sermon? We need to understand that baptism is important. Baptism is important. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse 27. For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you have not been baptized, you do not have Christ. Simple as that. Simple as that. Go to the bank and you don't have an account. Guess what? You don't have no money there. So if you have not put Christ on, you do not have him. You put him on through baptism. Maybe you have done that. Well, let's understand the scriptures. The scriptures tell us that we need to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18. We need to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not vain if it's done the way he wants to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Let's do what's right. Then maybe you have fallen short. Maybe you have fallen short. This is what the scriptures teach us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you confess your faults unto God, he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So do not sell yourself short. Do what's right before him. If you're not one of his children, become one of his children. If you have fallen short, come back to him. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, keep on keeping on. If you're hearing your subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation.